My name is Dr. Jesse Dingle. I'm the principal of Asheville High School, and we're here at Asheville High School. So I want to tell you a little bit about the genesis of the origin of the Listening Project. When I first became the principal of Asheville High School, it was the summer of 2017, and one of the things I wanted to do as a new leader into the community, into the building, was to find out about this place called Asheville High School. And so I had listening sessions with teachers, with other people in the community, but the one voice that was missing was the student voice. And so we came up with the idea, let's do a listening project with the high school and really listen to what high schoolers had to say about Asheville High School, about the community, and how what they thought about or felt about this community impacted the teaching and learning here in this building.
My name's Copeland Rudolph, and I'm with the Asheville City Schools Foundation. We did over 100 hours of one-on-one interviews with Asheville High and SILSA students. The listeners were comprised of parents, faculty, community leaders, and other senior students, and UNCA students as well.
I'm Heidi Freeman. I'm a teacher at Asheville High, and my role on the Listening Project was to create questions. So the goal was to come up with a set of questions where we would have enough data to justify some sort of a change and to get a good sampling of what students were experiencing in their classes, but then also get personal narratives and get their stories to back up the reasons why we needed to change some sort of system. So we needed a mixture of data that asked students, how often do you engage in conversations about race in school? But we also needed to hear personal experiences from students of times when they felt like there were inclusive environments or not ones. The project itself was based on being, I guess that's an umbrella term of an equity initiative, just to make sure that we were trying to figure out at what points our students were feeling like we were bridging gaps between different groups, but more importantly, when we were engaging in conversations that helped us understand when students felt like their needs weren't being met. So I guess equity is a really broad term to talk about. If we're going to have conversations that are based on data, like about the achievement gap, then what does that look like for our students in a classroom? And if we're going to talk about making our classrooms and our school systems more equitable, we need to hear from a student perspective where they feel as though they don't see equal services for different groups, or they don't engage in dialogues enough to bring up concerns about not feeling comfortable in their classrooms.
Who came up with, was it a staff? Was it input from UNCA? How did that question, coming up with the question process happen?
So the Listening Project group was volunteers. So there was one group that was from the high school, and then there was a group of community members. There was some parents, and there were members of the Asheville City Schools Foundation board. And then we kind of like split off into who was interested in doing the different parts, like who wanted to recruit people to be interviewed and who wanted to recruit interviewers, and then who wanted to create the questions. And that was the part I was really interested in, because I cared about that balance of having enough data to back up the initiatives and then having personal stories.
How did you pick the students?
We took nominations from teachers. We knew that there were teachers were probably the easiest way to figure out which students would be eager to talk about these sort of things. So a lot of it began in that way, and then also teachers tapping individual students and just suggesting that they volunteer to be interviewed. And then we just kept looking at our numbers and making sure we wanted to make sure that our sampling of students was diverse. But if it was an equity initiative, we wanted to make sure we were hearing voices from any different marginalized groups. So first we took a pretty broad sampling, and then we checked what we had. And so we kept filling those in by kind of trying to think about, well, if we have representation from different groups, we want to make sure that we have, like, do we have a representative from our trans community? And we were trying to think about, is there any voices that are being left out?
Sophomore at SILSA, and I was a student who was interviewed, and I asked about racial equity in particular and how I deal with it at our school. Particularly for my freshman year, it was kind of a big jump from Asheville Middle to SILSA. One major barrier was I was the only African-American male in my entire freshman class.
What were some of the things that you shared from that perspective?
Well, I talked about how there's a misconception in SOSA that it's only for people who want to go above and beyond, only for honors and APs who want to take that step. And, like, it didn't talk about how if you're not ready yet, how SOSA will help you take that step. And so that kind of deterred many African-American students from taking that step, males in particular, into going into SOSA. People think that SOSA is an all-white school, and people who are just academically inclined, which is another misconception. And so that was like a big issue to overcome being my freshman year. And so that I wanted to voice that opinion out there.
Where do you think those misconceptions come from?
Well, I feel like since we're in middle school and we have to sign the papers to say we want to go to this school or this school, I think it comes from maybe some upperclassmen. And also it comes from like just the community, because many times your parents went to Asheville High. SOSA is a new school, and so it just gets labeled with certain things that might not be true because it's very new and it's a novelty, basically.
Hello, my name is Iva Tyson. I'm currently a junior at SOSA, and I'm also on the student leader for the Asheville City Schools Foundation Board. My role in the Listening Project was a student who was voicing my feelings or my opinions on what I've been seeing within my school community. Personally, I was able to address some issues as I'm often the only or one of a few people of color within AP classes or clubs that I participate in, such as HOSA. And this allowed me to get my voice out there, and it allowed me to feel good that people actually care about how students feel and how they, or if they feel comfortable within their school setting. An issue that I definitely remember is, I can't remember exactly how it was worded, but where do I feel there's like the least diverse or the most diverse or something like that. And I mentioned, like, when you go in the cafeteria, you often see students sitting with more people who are like them. And there's not much diversity as far as who sits with who. Also, I would say there's a lack of diversity within AP classes, as well as some clubs. Personally, as a SILSA student, I wouldn't say that there's a lack of diversity within the honors classes because we're all honors. But when you take it up a notch to AP courses, you often lack that diversity.
Any thoughts from your perspective why there's a lack of? Let's start with the lunchroom. Why is there lack of diversity in the lunchroom?
I feel because people often feel more inclined and comfortable to sit with other people who are more like them. Although this is a major issue, I'm not really exactly sure why people, I'm not really sure.
What about within the AP classes, SILSA, the lack of diversity there? Is there a perception among students or is it?
Among students, I would say that they feel as if it's a challenge and a lot of people aren't willing to take on that challenge, or they feel as if they're not going to get as much help, or they may even feel that they're just not academically prepared. I also feel like it comes from support at home. If you're not really having that encouragement as much, then you're not feeling like, okay, I'm not academically prepared enough to participate and take on this class or be in this club.
My name's Astrid Reed Kennedy. I'm a sophomore at SILSA, and my role in the Listening Project was going over the interview questions before most students received the personal interviews, and then also being an interviewee myself. It was a pretty interesting experience, since the questions had been produced by adults at our school and volunteers. So rooting through them and changing vocabulary and different words to make questions either more broad and understandable for more students to give an opinion and their experience was pretty cool.
Tell me your experience being interviewed. What struck you?
My experience for being interviewed was very interesting. I feel that a lot of the questions I had asked for me was about social groupings and if there was any areas in our school that were more clique-like, I guess. My thoughts on the questions that was asked were pretty neutral. I'd say that a lot of the questions I asked were also very neutral.
Was there one issue that stuck out at all?
Personally, for me, one big issue that I have seen is diversity in classes and clubs, and how that isn't exactly anyone's fault, just how people from different backgrounds have grown up and who they knew, and how maybe instead of forcing students to get along with each other, giving them opportunities to branch out and talk to people who they maybe not would have. Cultivating an environment where students feel comfortable to go and talk to people they wouldn't usually is probably why we have clubs and all that. But instead of just forcing students, making tools available for that is probably the way to go.
This is Copeland Rudolph. One of the questions was, if you could redesign the school anyway, what would you do? That was one of your listening project questions. So I'm just curious about that. Like, how would you, a lot of times we talk about the problems, but we don't talk about how would we like it to be? What would you like it?
This is Seth Bellamy. Before we can move forward, we must all go on a common ground, like has been said before, and have a common foundation of where to move forward. And so we must recognize what is happening within our community and what has happened within our community. And so if we do not acknowledge the history that we've all been through as a collective and just try to move forward with a blind eye to race or I don't see color, I just see you as a person, then we won't get anywhere as a greater system. We must understand that race has impacted all of our lives in some form or fashion. And so I feel like addressing that issue and addressing, like, in our classes, there is a difference. There is a reason why you don't see that many African Americans in our classes, but you see more in standard classes than in AP. There is a reason for that. And so we as a community must recognize that before we can move forward. And that starts in the school system, because we're being educated as we speak right now. And so the more we talk about what is happening, the more we open up that dialogue, and the more we bring everyone in it and actually be more introspective about what are we doing to change the narrative? What are we doing? Why are we still perpetuating the same system that has, you know, oppressed millions of people over centuries? And so we must understand that in the 21st century, we must change the narrative and, you know, take the steps to fix race.
How can students, what role do students, should students have in that?
Well, we must understand that being tolerant and being respectful of other people doesn't just stop in the classroom. In the hallways, what you say, what you post, what you do on a daily basis does not just mean it's over. People are still listening. People are always watching. You must understand that just because you talk about it in a classroom doesn't mean it stops there either. You must understand that you must take that and put into your friend group. Having a homogeneous friend group and then just saying the same stuff over and over and being disrespectful is not the way to go. We must understand that for us to move together as a society, we must take the steps every single day. Just saying things just to be a joke, sometimes those jokes aren't jokes because they're just showing us how oppressive things are, how they seep into our day-to-day basis.
This is Iva Tyson. I would also say that I feel like there should be more diversity within teachers, possibly. However, we're all granted the same opportunities. It's all dependent on, like, how we as students take them on, or how, as I mentioned earlier, how much support do we have from our teachers and from home. So I would say redesigning the school to have more teachers who look like students, as well as making sure, even if we don't check in like every day, check in maybe like twice or every week with students to see how they're doing or what's going on. Not even being nosy or getting them their personal lives, but just check in and see if they're lacking any support. And if so, what can they do to help? And even like with our counselors, I feel like that That's a major thing, especially as upperclassmen, when we're needing that more of a push to take on more challenging things or to start applying for college. I feel like that's critical.
This is Astrid. Personally, I feel like once given that platform, we need to inform students and teachers how to go about talking about race and equity, even if you don't exactly have personal experience or have supposedly a platform or a way to speak about that knowledgeably, but to give them that information and knowledge about how to go about talking about issues that not many people really want to talk about and how to do that respectfully of other groups and people.
Like on top of that, it's okay to be uncomfortable. And so many times we try to shy away from it and try to prolong it for something else, but it has to happen sometime. And as high schoolers, we must take that step to, even though it might be uncomfortable right now, in the future it'll make someone else comfortable.